Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's account, which is Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. In Matthew 5 and verse 2, we see that he opened his mouth and taught them, and then from that point on, you have the actual sermon. Leading up to the sermon, we won't tonight, but you would go to the book of Luke, chapter 6, verses 12 through 19, and you get the background leading up to the sermon. Jesus had gone up into a mountain to pray, and we know there in Luke 6, verse 12 and 13, he called his disciples unto himself, and of them he chose 12. And following that, he and the disciples, and now the apostles also, went down from the mountain, and a great multitude met them. And Jesus healed many in the multitude, and then you have the Sermon on the Mount. So the sermon was spoken to the disciples, the apostles, primarily the apostles, and in the hearing of the multitudes. And in the Sermon on the Mount, if you could pick one scripture, one portion of scripture to give to a newly saved individual, I believe I would choose the Sermon on the Mount. I believe it is just packed with how to live for the Lord. And I feel that most of God's people have never grasped what the Sermon on the Mount teaches, truly teaches. And we've gone through that before. But in the sermon, Jesus presents a portrait of a true disciple, how they ought to think, how they ought to act, how they ought to react to life in the world. So in the sermon, Jesus is teaching, he's exhorting, concerning a very particular and very peculiar way of living life. He presents it in Matthew 6, he mentions the kingdom of God. He does so in verse 10, verse 13, verse 33. And I believe the life that he is exhorting us to would be kingdom of God living. Now, the implications of a kingdom are rule and reign of a king, which of course includes subjects, that's us, and laws to govern those subjects. So, kingdom of God living would be Christ's throne established in our heart. It's living with the with his power, his greatness, his majesty in our hearts and upon our lives. It's living life under his ownership and under his authority. It's exalting Jesus Christ as those in a kingdom would exalt their king. It is a life of submission to the king. It is a life of obedience to his laws, both inwardly and outwardly. And the Sermon on the Mount lays the emphasis upon the inward. It doesn't disregard the outward, but it lays the emphasis upon the inward. So in other words, it is living by God's design. It is living by God's standards. It's a spiritual living. It's right living. Really, every other kind of living is wrong. And it's described in the sermon as his righteousness. His righteousness. Not the righteousness of religion, but his righteousness. Now, in looking at this life, it would be good to remember what Jesus said in John 18, verse 36. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not from hence." nor is this life that he is speaking of. It is a life that is above the ways and aspirations of the world. As you read the sermon, we have a vivid reminder that life is not about personal fulfillment. It's not about peace of mind. It's not about happiness. It's not about career. It's not about achievements. It's not about the acquisition of things. And it's not about human approval. It's all about the Lord. It's all about the Lord. And Christ explains this life, and he gives direction concerning this life, and he exhorts us to live this life. Now, a couple of important matters to remember when you look at the Sermon on the Mount is in Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, we'll not turn there, but Jesus speaks of our God-given function in the world. We're light, we're salt. That's our function in the world. And the Sermon on the Mount describes the life that enables you to fulfill that function. The truth is, if you don't live this life, you don't fulfill the function, the God-given function of being salt and light. And in chapter 5 and verse 20, he speaks of a specific righteousness, his righteousness, a righteousness that is more, a righteousness that is greater than that of mere religion. And in chapter 5, verse 48, God is the standard. He's perfect. And he is the one that we are to strive for. But tonight we'd like to read in Matthew 6, very familiar verses. I'd like to read verses 19 through verse 34. Again, Jesus is speaking. Never a man spake like him. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In that light, in that context, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now there's a lot in those verses, and it's not our intent to even mention all that's there. But we want to speak upon the subject of steps to spiritual priority. Priority is of the utmost importance. Spiritual priority is of the utmost importance. But there's some things that have to happen before our priorities are right. And we want to begin our thought with verse 33, a verse that we refer to many, many, many times, and I believe it should be the feature of our life. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." That's where we'll begin. And again, that ought to be the feature of our life. What is addressed there is a life of right pursuit and a life of priority. Life cannot be right if we do not have the right pursuit and if we do not have the right priority in our pursuit. But first of all, notice a right pursuit in life. In verses 25 through 31, Jesus warns against putting the emphasis upon and seeking wrong things. In verse 25, he mentions life. He mentions food, what we shall eat. He mentions drink. He mentions meat, and he mentions raiment. And then in verse 32, we see that there is a reminder that this is the way of the unsaved. These are the things that the unsaved seek after. This is the focus of the unsaved life. Verse 32, "For after all these things," the things that we just mentioned, and also they're repeated in verse 31, "do the Gentiles," or the heathen, "seek." In other words, that's their life. That's what they have. That's all they have to look forward to. They are absorbed in these things. They are very preoccupied with these things. They're obsessed. They're obsessed with these matters. They're allured by these things. They're intrigued by these things. They're drawn to these things. The heathen seek these things. They look to these things. Why? Well, they do so for happiness. They don't find it. But they do so for happiness. They do so for pleasure. They do so for satisfaction. They do so for security. The Gentiles seek after these things. But then we come down to verse 33 and it says, "But seek ye." So our lives are to be different than the lives of the unsaved. We're to focus on something different than what the unsaved focus on. We're to pursue something different than that of the unsaved. There is to be a difference in our life. And the emphasis, the pursuit, the passion of our life, notice what it is: the kingdom of God. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." What does that mean? Well, it means to seek the king of that kingdom. Seek his will. Seek his rule. Seek his honor. Seek his glory. Seek his worship. Seek his fellowship. Seek the kingdom. You can't have a kingdom without a king. And his righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And you can't seek the one without seeking the other. If you seek God, you seek his righteousness. And his righteousness here simply means his holiness. So we're to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And this is different from what the world seeks. And the truth is, if we're not different from the world, we cannot fulfill our God-ordained function, which is light. Light is different than darkness. Salt. It must be different. If we're not different, we cannot fulfill our God-ordained, God-appointed function. So there has to be a right pursuit. That is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God and His righteousness. That is our pursuit. That is the direction we are to be moving. Everything is to center around that. But then notice, we are to pursue this with the right priority. It is seek ye first. It's not just, but seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That would imply you can, whenever you can fit it into your busy schedule, you do that. But He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So this pursuit is to be one of priority. It is to be one of priority. The word first, we all know what that means. It means first in the sense of order. First in the sense of order. That which comes before. That which precedes. First. Seek ye first. In the sense of order. No matter what else is going on, this is the order. First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's first. Everything else must follow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So the word first speaks of order. But the word first also implies that which is foremost. It's to be first. It's foremost. It is to be primary. It is to be chief. It is to be the supreme thing. It is to be the paramount thing in our life. It's the main thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, the Gentiles, everything that they seek is material. Something you can grab hold of physically. That's what they seek. That's what they base their life upon. That's their goals. Everything in their life centers around that. Sadly, many of God's people have fallen in the same trap. There's really no difference many times between what God's people are seeking and what the Gentiles or the heathen are seeking. And may I say the results are the same as well. So, what is he talking about? The kingdom of God and His righteousness first. Well, it means that the spiritual and the eternal, that which is beneficial to the soul, that which will give you peace and joy, the spiritual, that which will bring intimacy with God, that is to go before all else. It's to be first. That is to precede all else. First is not a difficult word to understand. There's nothing difficult about it. You don't need a college degree to understand first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The spiritual is to be first before the earthly, before the food, the drink, the raiment. It is to precede these things. In other words, that which is spiritual and eternal, that which is beneficial to the soul, is to be foremost in our life. It is to be the primary thing. It is to be the supreme thing. It is to dominate our life. It is to dominate our thinking. It is to have preeminence. Now, immediately when you start talking like this, people say, well, what about? Again, we would ask, what is it that you don't understand about first? It doesn't matter what about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, what if this happened? Seek ye first. Again, what is it that you do not understand about first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is, the matters of God. Spiritual things are to dominate. They are to be preeminent. Nothing is to usurp the spiritual. Nothing ever is to outrank the spiritual. Nothing is to replace the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is to be first. So you have this right pursuit, and it has to be given priority. It has to be first. This requires something. This is why it does not work when someone says, I understand. I'm to seek first the spiritual. And starting right now, I'm going to do that. But it doesn't last. Because there's some things that have to take place in order for verse 33 to take place. There are some things that have to be in order if we're going to live verse 33, which backs us up to the beginning of our text. And there Jesus speaks of the importance of having a proper estimate of the spiritual. You will not seek the spiritual first unless you have a proper estimate of the spiritual and the material. And therein lies the problem with most. So Jesus, beginning with verse 19, addresses the subject of where we place value. Where we place value, because wherever it is, that's what you're going to seek. That's what you're going to seek. Someone says, I realize that this is more important, and I realize that this is more beneficial, and this is number one. I realize that, but you don't understand. Right now, I've got to go after this. No, they don't understand. They don't understand. No matter how much they say they do, they don't understand. They have place too low of an estimate on that which is to be first, and too high of an estimate upon that which is to follow. So their lives are a mess. And it just continues and continues. Once you fall in this trap, it's not an easy one to get out of. So he addresses this subject. If we're going to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we must assess the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We must assess it to be of more worth than anything else. And that's always so. We must have that assessment. That must be our evaluation. We must see and understand that the kingdom of God and His righteousness is more useful to me than anything else. That it is more beneficial to me than anything else. That it is more important than anything else. And that it is more significant than anything else at any time. And we must think more highly of the spiritual than we do the earthly. And we must hold it with higher regard than that which is of the earth. Now, what we read in verse 33 Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Cannot be so until we have this proper assessment or evaluation of the spiritual and the material. And Christ addresses this in verses 19 through verse 21. And He does so, first of all, by way of illustration. He illustrates it by the word treasures. You see that word in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Both cases the plural. In verse 21, He uses the singular, treasure. So He uses this word treasure to illustrate the importance of value. So what is a treasure? Well, a treasure is something that we esteem. It's something that we esteem most excellent. It's something that we esteem as most valuable. And everyone has treasures, that which they think is more important than anything else. A treasure is what we cherish. And He says there in verse 20 or 21, for where your treasure is, it has to be somewhere, where your treasure is, there, wherever the is, that's where the there is. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So our treasures, our values, are what we place our heart upon. Because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So it's what we place our heart upon. So now we have to define what is meant by the heart. Well, that's our affections. Whatever has our most affection, doesn't matter what we say. Whatever has our most affection, that's where our treasure is. Our hearts would include our thoughts, would include our emotions. It would include basically what our will. Our will. It's what matters most to us. And you don't even have to ask someone, what is it that matters most to you in life? You don't have to give an answer to that question. Your life answers that question. The way we live our life answers that question. It doesn't matter what we say. Our life answers that question. How we react to life answers that question. But Christ goes, so He mentions treasures. And then He mentions two places where these treasures can be. Verse 19, they can be upon earth. Earth, of course, would be that which is material or physical. And in verse 21, they can be in heaven. Now notice, two different prepositions to describe location. When speaking of the earth, He uses the word upon. When speaking of heaven, He uses in. There's a big difference. That which is in is far more secure than that which is upon. And he'll go on and illustrate that as well. So, earth, heaven. Those are the two places that our treasures are. They have to be in one or the other. Earth, heaven. And then he illustrates it by treasures. Then he addresses the subject from the negative. In verse 19, lay not up for yourselves, and for yourselves is very important. The life of the unsaved individual is a selfish life. Even when they do something for someone else, it's still for self. lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Lay up means to put. It means to place. It means to set. It is something that you willfully do. It is something that you deliberately do. It is something that you give some thought to. And we've preached before that we need to plan to serve God. And you observe the lives of most individuals today. They don't plan to serve God. They plan to fit God in wherever they can. But they do not plan to serve God. They buy things, they do things that plan not to serve God. That's a different subject. But we see here, this is a deliberate act. Lay not up. Something we willfully, deliberately, and with thought will do. So the key word in understanding the meaning of what is warned against here, what is prohibited, again, is that word treasure. It's not a prohibition against material prosperity. It's not even a prohibition against laying up in store. It is a prohibition against placing our worth, our usefulness, our importance, and our significance in earthly things. That's what's being prohibited. It is a prohibition against thinking that such is where lasting benefit is. It's where we can find happiness. It is the thinking most highly of these things. It's thinking higher of earthly things and spiritual things. Because that's what a treasure is. It's that which is cherished. We're not to have our most cherished things upon earth. They're not to be upon earth. Notice the argument that he uses to enforce this, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. What he's saying is, treasures upon earth, there's going to be sure loss. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. And then people get down the dumps because what they cherish is no longer there. He addresses the subject from the positive. Verse 20. But he's now offering an alternative. To lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth. Lay up, again, lay up, this is a deliberate act, treasures in, not upon, in heaven. This is an exhortation to properly evaluate and appraise and assess what is truly the most valuable, what is truly the most important. It is an exhortation to willfully and consciously place the spiritual above the carnal, the heavenly above the earthly, and to always consider the spiritual of more value and more importance than the carnal. Always. This is what's being taught in verses 19 through 21. Now, before we can live verse 33, verse 20 must be true. Our treasures must be in heaven. That's where we. That's what's most cherished by us. And what is most cherished by us, we seek. Not only do we seek it first. Why do people put so many things ahead of the Lord? The answer is simple, just based on this. Because they see whatever else they're seeking before the Lord, whatever else they're placing before the Lord, doesn't matter how much they deny it, they see that as more valuable than the Lord. That's what Jesus is saying. You say, well, I don't agree. Well, you take that up with the Lord then, because He's the one who said it. It's very plain. Very plain. And today, people who put the Lord ahead of the material maybe 30% of the time are counted faithful. We've lost sight of faithful. What is truly faithful? I mean, the standard has been greatly lowered. So here's the alternative. Place our treasure in heaven. Now, what happens when we do that? Well, it enables us to live verse 33. But there are a lot of things that flow from this. It provides guidance. And we're going to have to hurry here. Verse 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So he uses the illustration of the eye, but he does so in reference to something beyond physical sight. In verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. And what he's talking about is the eye controls the body. It directs the body. It directs the actions of the body. Now, the eye corresponds to the heart in verse 21. If our values are right, if our values are in heaven, then our heart is right, and then our life is filled with clarity. What does light do? Light brings clarity. Light reveals. Light unveils. It dispels darkness. And if our values are right, if what we cherish the most is in heaven, then our heart guides us. It gives us light. We're not confused. Oh, what shall I do? I've got the Lord here, and I've got this and this and this, and I'm having such a hard time deciding what to do here. It's because your heart's not right. It's because your treasures are upon earth. Because if the heart is right, there's clarity. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these other things are happening. But my treasure's in heaven. It's what I cherish most. So I'm going to seek first the spiritual. Even if it doesn't make sense to the human mind, I seek first the spiritual. You cannot go wrong. You cannot go wrong seeking first the spiritual. And what does this do? When our affections, our most cherished things are in heaven, the spiritual things, our heart is right, we receive direction. And what does that do? It produces right loyalties. The reason people have trouble with loyalties is because their treasures are on earth. It's very simple. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. What are the two masters here in the context? Heaven and earth. Someone might say, well, it says here, mammon. God and mammon. Same thing. Mammon's not just money. Mammon is that it's earth. God and mammon. You cannot serve both. You cannot have your treasures in heaven and your treasures upon earth. It's one or the other. And wherever they are, that's what you pursue. That's what you pursue first. And that's what brings problems into the life as far as loyalties. Well, I have to do this because I've got a boss over here. If your heart's right, you don't have a problem with loyalties. You have one king. You have one king. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's no problem here if the treasure's in the right spot, if we value the right thing, there's no problem with allegiance and commitment. There's no question, I should say, of where our allegiance should be or where our commitment should be. And it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't change a thing. Not one single thing. So, if our treasures are right, our heart's right, we receive light, therefore our loyalties are right. You see, life's easier. I mean, when there's confusion, of, well, I just don't know what to do. I mean, I've got my family over here telling me to do this. I got my boss over here telling me to do this. And the Lord's telling me to do this. I don't know what to do. Well, you ought to. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is not difficult, what the Lord is teaching here. But God's people need to grasp this. And folks that cannot grasp this truth, they can't be coddled. Well, you know, we got to understand that they've got a job and they got this. No, I'm sorry, I don't understand. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That will keep you from marrying the wrong person. That will keep you from choosing the wrong job. That will keep you from moving to the wrong place or deciding to go to a family reunion rather than a church service. It will keep you from all of that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It prevents wrong concerns and reactions. Verse 25 through 31. He uses the words take no thought in verse 25, verse 31, and 34. And that those three words, take no thought, are followed by mention of things that make up earthly life. And when he says take no thought, he doesn't mean that we're never to think about those things. We're not to worry about those things. We're not to obsess about those things. It's not even a prohibition against forethought or a prohibition against preparation. But again, take no thought. And the word take goes along with the word lay. It's something that you do deliberately. You take something. You do that deliberately. You do that willfully. And we're to take no thought. That is, the necessities of life should not be our supreme concern. Should not be our supreme concern. Nor should we teach our children that this should be their supreme concern. It should not be a cause of anxiety or alarm or distress or panic. Our value system determines our chief concern. And if our value system is the earth, that's where our chief concern is. And once again, it doesn't matter what we say. Our life already says it loud and clear. Where our chief concern is. Our value system determines what affects us the most. What is it that affects us the most? What is it that distresses us the most? It ought to be a backslidden condition or sin in our life. That ought to distress us more than anything else. It's what we relate to. It's what consumes us. So we need to ask and examine ourselves, what is it that concerns me? What is it that has my attention? Again, if the matters of verse 25 and 31 become our main concern, that's a sure symptom of a wrong value system. And you will not live, verse 33. Won't happen. Will not happen. In addition to a proper assessment of the spiritual and earthly, there must be faith. We have to trust God. And the Lord tells us this. In verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? So we're to trust God. We're to trust God. You know why a lot of people do not seek ye first the kingdom of God? Well, number one, their value system's all wrong. Number two, they don't trust God. They don't trust the Lord. They don't believe that the Lord is going to take care of them. He said in verse 32, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Don't seek these things like the Gentiles do. Your heavenly Father knows. In other words, trust God. Verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of the material. You worry about the spiritual. You concern yourselves with the spiritual. And God will take care of the material. So verse 33 needs to be our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter one iota what we're talking about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know how many problems people would avoid in their homes if they sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? You know how many problems would never be if people followed this in their marriage or their career? A lot of things would never happen. They'd never be faced with a lot of issues. People say, oh, I've got so many issues. Well, why is that? Why is that? Oh, and they'll tell you it's because of this. That's not the reason. We bring issues into our life because we fail here. We could avoid a lot of situations, a lot of circumstances. It'd cut out all the competition and conflict that exists in lives today. Giving heed to this simple principle. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And again, if someone says, well, you know, that does make sense. I'm going to start doing that. No, you won't. You got to go back to verse 19, verse 20. And you got to make sure that you properly evaluate the spiritual. The spiritual has to be the most important in your life. If that's not so, and as soon as there is a conflict between a person's so-called religion and the secular, now they're faced with a decision and they're in all kinds of turmoil, and most people aren't. They just pick the earthly. There's no turmoil at all. I find it hard to believe that there is anyway. But if we would just come to the conviction, my spirituality is more important than anything else. The spiritual is more important than anything else. Then we will seek first spiritual truths. I've had people get very, 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 very upset when I tell them, you need to seek the Lord first. You need to get your values right. Oh, they get upset. And why do they get upset? Because their values are wrong. No one wants to be told that their value system is wrong. But I'm here to tell you, if you put the earthly ahead of the spiritual, your value system is skewed. It is wrong. Your thinking is wrong. There's nothing right about it. And the more someone tries to defend it, the worse, the more obvious it becomes. God help us to realize that the spiritual is first. It cuts out all the debating, all the struggle. I mean, we'll have struggle in our flesh simply because of the nature of flesh. But we can cut an awful lot of it out. And it will prevent the ordinary from dominating and controlling our life. It goes along with Ecclesiastes 12, Matthew 6, 33. We learn these truths. I mean, it's life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you do that, I don't have to argue with you about marrying someone that's lost, marrying someone that's of another faith, or whatever. We don't even have to have that discussion. Because you're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, life would just be so much easier. And people today, what is it they talk about all the time? Oh, life is so complicated today. Why is that? Why is that? It's because we have complicated it because we've gotten things out of order. And until we realize that truth and get it right, it'll just get worse and worse and worse. But we cannot pattern our life after the Gentiles, after the heathen. We have to have a different pursuit. We have to have a different priority. We have to have a different value system than they. It's very simple. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us some